Just like that, the final hour is here. Tuesday edition. Glad you're with us across the Outkick Network. We're throwing Hutton with you. 6th and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. We got the gun show, Mike G. Gunzelman from Outkick. He's going to join us in the studio in about 20 minutes. And Chad, an hour from now, we head to Phoenix, Super Bowl 57.
About to be on our way, Hutton. We've reached the home stretch before we head to the desert, where my allergies are always miraculously cured. There will be a day where I move to the desert because the only place that my allergies don't attack me. So get ready for that.
It doesn't feel that long ago, but it was a few years back. We had the Logan Ryan show, which was epic. And anytime we have the chance to catch up with
the
corner, the defensive back, the philanthropist, and the top five...
Renaissance man.
A top five tackler in NFL playoff history.
Wow.
Saw this list recently. Number one's Ray Lewis, and then Logan Ryan is in the top five. He joins us now. Logan, great to have you back on the show, man. Your show for at least 15 minutes or so. How are things?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. Top five's legit. I mean, that means you've played in plenty of playoff games. Congratulations.
Did you know that fact, Logan, before Hutton said it?
No idea. I saw a graphic. I sent it to Hutton. Because I was surprised. I knew I played in a lot of playoff games. I know I've been productive in the playoffs, but I think it was a cool stat. Anytime, all time. You know, they started tracking in 92 or 94 or something, but not a lot of DBs on that list. I could be the lightest guy on that list. You could say pound for pound, I'm the greatest playoff tackler. But, you know, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Elite company, obviously. Ahead of Vrabel on there, so that's some bragging rights as well.
Well, okay, so Ray Lewis is number one. He's the king, right? Crown him.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bobby Wagner, Teddy Bruschi, Logan Ryan, and Devin McCourty. So, are you lighter than Devin McCourty?
At his old age, he might be, you know, frailing away a little bit. But we're around the same weight. I would say I might have been a little bit lighter at the combine than him. Both former corners.
Yep.
Played safety. So I would say two of the top five greatest playoff tacklers, both from Rutgers. What do you know?
There you go. Yeah, you can take the pound for pound title. I'm fine with that. It's a toss up, but yes, it works. And Logan joins us. You can check out the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation as well. We'll get to that in a moment. Tom Brady announces his retirement on February 1st. And I immediately thought of our visit that you had with us when you were here in Nashville for camp with the joint practice because Brady wasn't here. And you legitimately said, guys, I have no update. I don't really know about this process. And then I tied it in with the fact that you had the football sign on the pick six that you had, the final pass attempt for him in Foxborough. Former teammate, you're playing with the Titans, wild card round, game over, and you had him sign it. Did you get some sense this season that this could be it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't know how you can ever say that this season could be like retirement, is it because he retired previously and came back from retirement? So you didn't know, but I think for sure you felt like there was some finality there in Tampa and he was going to take his time and think of all possible outcomes this offseason. And I know his family, you know, being, you know, a great father and working on that relationship with his family was definitely paramount and precedent for him. And I just got to see all type of angles of him this year, especially, you know, off the field.
But was it, you know, this year in terms of, you said you got to see different angles of him this year. He's obviously locked in, you know, when he's there playing football and preparing and doing all of that. But what was different about this year, other than obviously the personal stuff that he stepped aside from training camp that we talked to you about when you were here in Nashville with training camp. But what was there a big difference with him on the football side of it that you could see?
No, I mean, he continued to put all that time in. I think the reason why I saw a difference is because of my maturity and growth and being an older player in the NFL and being one of his closest allies on the team. You know, when I got drafted to New England, I was a teammate of his. I played with the best player. Literally every day he stepped on the field, he was the best player in the world. Every game he was the best player. He won multiple MVPs. We won multiple championships. I got to see, you know, that prime, like, I mean, he's still in his kind of in his prime. It's crazy, but I got to see it every single day, like undoubtedly the best player in the league. And then, you know, when I went to Tennessee, I got to compete against him, 2 playoff games in 3 years, multiple practices, multiple regular season games. So I knew what it was like from practice, what it was going to be like to compete. And I helped my teammates in Tennessee, like, no, we got to bring it every down. We got to beat him on the biggest stage at Foxborough, obviously his last game in New England. And then I got to be his teammate. But now I think I'm a father now. He's a father, obviously. So I got to see more of the personal side off the field of our families getting together, hanging out at the animal shelter, just talking about life bigger than football. And I think just my age and my maturity got me to see that side of him. On terms of on the field, his preparation is always the same. Tons of work on his body, tons of film study, tons of preparation. He definitely did everything the same in that form or fashion. I just think he opened up to me more personally than years past.
Yeah, Logan, let's compare that young Logan Ryan coming into the league and, you know, meeting Tom Brady for the first time and being on his team and observing him. And when you see young guys come into a locker room and you're a teammate with Tom Brady, as you become older, do you see a little bit of yourself in those young players with how they look at Tom Brady, how they interact with him, and knowing what you know now about him and being his teammate? How does that sort of change things for you when you talk to younger players about interacting with Tom Brady?
Yeah, I learned a lot from him when I was young. I remember just trying to introduce myself. I was nervous, man. I had a Tom Brady jersey growing up, and I was a quarterback growing up. And I just, you know, I watched the Patriots. Not they were my favorite team, but I've always respected them and whatnot, and watched them beat teams that I liked all the time. And their greatness, it was like the San Antonio Spurs or something like that, just like whoever they put in. And I remember being really nervous, like going up to him, and he introduced himself. He was like, "Hey, I'm Tom Brady, the quarterback here. And I know, Logan, we drafted you in the 3rd round, and we really need you. And anything you need, I'm here early. You know, I'm here late, so I'm always around," like kind of introduced himself and the humility to do that. And I think I learned then and there, you know, as a veteran, that I always try to, you know, be a helping hand to the young guys. I don't do too much hazing. I'm not too hard on Adoree when he was a rookie. I actually protected him a lot when he was a rookie from media and whatnot. And just be like, "Look, man, I'm not better than you. We need you to win. And I'm here to be a resource and be an open book." And I feel like he just, you know, that took that edge of, "Oh my God, I'm playing with Tom Brady" off. I'm like, "Okay, this is a good guy." Like, and everyone used to ask me, especially when I was young, like, "What's it like playing with Tom Brady?" I'm like, "He's a better person than you would think." And it's true. I mean, people say it. Everyone who says never says a bad thing about him, but it really is true.
You guys would talk some trash, though, in practice.
Oh, man. It was like, and I thought that was like kind of normal. And I definitely talked a lot when I was in Tennessee, but that's kind of died down. I see guys do more like touchdown dances and celebrations, but they don't trash talk as much as, you know, I would say my early days or some of those days. Like I'm a trash talking player. Tennessee, we had some trash talkers. New England, I mean, it's documented, me and Edelman, just practice stories of just going at it every day in practice and the competitiveness of practice. Truly, I can say some years in that New England team, practice was harder than the games. We would compete like we didn't win a game all year in practice, and we would go beat a team like Jacksonville 55-7. You know, and we would just dominate because practice was so competitive with Edelman's, with Gronk, with Devin McCourty's, Patrick Chung's, and Hightower. I remember being young and Vince Wilfork was like, "Hey, boy, you don't want to come down this box. Grown men business in this box." Talking about all those tackles. And he's like, "You don't want to come in those trenches." I was afraid to go in those trenches because there were really, really some grown men in there and physicality and all that stuff. So a little bit of a different game now. I don't think the trenches are as scary, but those early New England days, it definitely was, practice was competitive.
From fearing the trenches to a top 5 playoff tackler, Logan Ryan with us on Outkick 360. Did you ever attempt to try the TB12 method?
Not like avocado ice cream only.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But
you dip your toes into it. You didn't go off the high dive straight into it. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, not fully. If something is so hard that it doesn't bring me joy, I'm not going to do it. But I read the book, and I definitely, I believe in drinking all the water that you need to drink. I drink like 100 ounces of water a day. And so I believe in the water intake, the electrolytes, and I just try to eat generally healthy in terms of, you know, cutting out some fried foods and cutting dairy out and stuff like that here and there, but nothing too extreme.
Is it crazy to go to dinner with him because of that and what he'll order or what he can't have or refuses to have?
I think there's different seasons of Tom. Like, I don't even think you're going to catch him in dinner.
Okay.
During the season, you know, like he's not even going to go out to dinner. But post Super Bowl, you know, Tom, like Super Bowl party afterwards, you might see him, you know, drink an adult beverage. You might see him eat a piece of chocolate. You know, you might see something a little off.
Chocolate. I love
jalapeno poppers. Does he ever go to anything fried? Like fried shrimp at the buffet? He's not going to touch that, though.
No. That's a sin. He never did that.
Logan, could you see the promise with this Giants team? With the right direction that we saw cap off this year with a playoff trip when you were playing with the Giants a year ago?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I'd be surprised. Again, although I knew they would make the playoffs or anything like that. You never know that, you know. But I think they were healthier this year. I think Daniel Jones was healthy the entire year. Saquon went back to form. And when I got to practice the first day of the Giants, I immediately saw Saquon like, okay, this is one of the better football players I ever played with. Just talent level, just size, speed, jump cut ability, athleticism. Like, he pops, he stands out. You see why he's a top pick. Like, you would say like, okay, this guy's probably been one of the best players of football. You know, it's like Derek, when Derek hit his stride, you're like, okay, this guy's different. That's what Saquon was like. So I think it's kind of riding the power of Derek. When Derek hit his form, Tennessee got a lot better. And I think that was Saquon being healthy the entire year. And that was a huge difference. And the 2 years I was in New York, Saquon wasn't healthy. He tore his ACL early the first year I was there. And the second year, he really wasn't healthy. Daniel wasn't really healthy. So I just think those guys, the quarterback and the running back being healthy, helped the offensive production. And I think the defense in New York was always solid. It was solid when I was there. And I think it was solid, obviously, this year. And Wink Martindale, just an aggressive Ravens coordinator, all out blitzing and stuff. That puts offenses to only run certain plays against that all out pressure. You see Miami do it. You see certain teams do it, and it makes it really simple on defense, and it makes it complicated for that quarterback on offense. So you can beat some teams you have no business beating when you're able to pressure as often as they do, and that's what they did this year. And I think they had a good year, good coaching, and some good players. So I definitely saw the talent was there, just staying healthy and putting it all together.
Super Bowl champ Logan Ryan with us on Outkick 360. What is, not the trick, what's the method of going about to try and to defend Travis Kelce in this Chiefs offense? It seems as though sometimes game plans aren't focused on him. I'm sure they are. They have to be. But yet Mahomes and Kelce continue to just post numbers that are just ridiculous in the big moments.
Yeah, I think Tampa had an amazing game plan a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. And that's to be able to rush to, you know, get to the passer with four rushers. They're able to rush with four and able to play coverage back when they had Tyreek Hill and all that, double him. But, you know, Lavonte David did a ridiculously great job on Travis Kelce in that Super Bowl. And I don't know how many linebackers can cover like Lavonte David can and what he did in that game. That's what allowed Tampa to win a Super Bowl, the pass rush and Lavonte David. But I think you, especially with Tyreek Hill going, you got to take Travis Kelce away. I mean, he's the key to it. However, if you commit too much to him, it can open up some other options. But I think it starts and stops with taking him away. And what you got to understand is how much of what he's doing out there is made up. It's scripted with Andy Reid, but he's doing a lot of going rogue, and Mahomes is finding him, kind of busting routes off and finding space. And he's just a great nuanced player of understanding where to find the holes, the soft holes in the zone and stuff like that. So it's like a basketball player who might lose, you know, the ability to explode to the rim. They're able to shoot fadeaway jumpers and stuff like that. And that's what Travis can do. If he's not getting open to man, he's able to find those holes in zone. And obviously Patrick goes to him a lot.
Logan, the way the salary cap is set up, Philly's not supposed to be this good at every position, really. It's remarkable about how they've built their roster and then how they've added pieces through free agency and hit on those guys.
Yeah, I think uh, I think when you can hit on free agency, that is, it's like the Rams last year, you know, like when they're able to bring in those free agent pieces and they just got like such a talented team. And I think, you know, Philly, like when you get James Bradberry for $10 million, I mean, I play with them. That's a bona fide number one $20 million corner. They only got like 10 of them in the league, and Philly has two of them. When Detroit traded Darius Slay so many years ago, bad move by Detroit. Coach is fired. GM's now fired. Bona fide number one, only 10 of them in the world, and they got two of them. And then when you hit on a Hassan Reddick, his story is nuts, right? Philly guy, he has lead the league in sacks. That works. They've always had a great O-line, D-line. That's what the Eagles have had for the last couple of years. That's their nucleus. And when you have a good O-line, D-line, you're able to run the ball. You're able to stop your quarterback from being pressured. And it enables you to play the game on your terms. And I know we love skill players and stuff like that, but the O-line, D-line, what helps Philly set up. And they got all these skill players for cheap. The A.J. Brown, you know?
Yep.
Hit on a trade. The GM got fired. Don't know if that was the best move, but A.J. Brown is obviously a number one. Only 10 of him in the world, and they're able to get him. And then I actually trained with Devontae Smith in Tampa. I was begging New York to draft him because he's different. He's a worker. He does all the little things right. He's like an old-school wide receiver. Torrey Holt, going to play 15 years in this league because he just works that hard and is that skilled. And they end up hitting on him. So when you hit on your draft picks and you hit on your free agents, you're able to be a contender pretty quickly.
What's next year look like for you?
Oh, man. I'm going to be a free agent. So we'll see. I am a free agent. We'll see. I've accomplished a lot in my career, and I'm comfortable right now. I'm just taking time with my family and my wife and kids. And I'm sure you guys have seen all over social media how much fun I'm doing that. But you know, I'm healed up off the foot. I'm feeling good, and we'll see what the opportunity brings. I couldn't tell you.
Well, and tell Ashley we said hello. And the Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation, I know it'll be jam-packed this summer with some events as well. Can't wait for that and the work you're doing. She did a great job, by the way, on the day of Brady's retirement, posting that from the account.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was great.
Because that was the viral moment, because it was Brady with the give back to the community.
Yeah, you know, my wife, she's a really talented writer, and she just had a job writing for Disney, and she got chosen out of like 20 people out of 15,000 who applied to write Disney reviews and help people plan trips and all this stuff like that. And she had, you have to be a really talented writer, obviously, know Disney in order to get that, you know, 15 out of 20,000 or whatever is hard in any odds.
That's awesome.
So, you know, she showed her side of Brady and what she saw of him and how she tries to judge things. She tells me often, and I think as a competitor, I don't think about it all the time. She said, you know, being a good husband and a good father, that counts on the scoreboard too. Because I look at tackles and interceptions and whether how many, you know, you guys see two-time Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL vet, and those are numbers I care about. But I'm also like an all-world dad and a pretty good husband. So we don't give ourselves enough credit on that. And I think that's what she was trying to shine light on Brady. And she felt pretty bad when it blown up. She didn't necessarily want it to blow up or know if that was a good thing for that, if Brady wanted that shared or whatnot. But he reached out, his family reached out and said, thank you so much for showing that side of him, because it's truly who he is. And we weren't going to the shelter for any attention, obviously. We're just doing that to bond with our kids and to help out and volunteer and find time in our busy lives to volunteer. And it became a little thing that we bonded over, and our kids became close over. And no matter wins or losses, we were still there. And I think, you know, for a quarterback in his last year and what's he going to do and all eyes on him and his private life, I think it was pretty cool for him to do that.
Ryan Animal Rescue Foundation. For more, RARF.org for more details there and how to donate and help out the local shelters in your area. Logan, appreciate it as always, man. Next time you're in Nashville, swing by, and hopefully we'll connect over the offseason.
Appreciate you guys. Enjoy Phoenix. And it was a pleasure, man. Whenever you guys want me, I'll be on.
Thanks, appreciate Logan. You, really appreciate you.
Real Logan Ryan on social is where you can find him. Great guy. My favorite. And Chad, but great.
He is real. Yeah, he is real. That's a good way to describe him, too, no doubt. Real Logan Ryan.
Logan's real. Mike G brings the energy. The gun show. And when we come back, he's worked a piece for OutKick where He's taking a look at the halftime shows that should be on the horizon based on who hasn't played that would be great. We'll discuss. That's next on Outkick 360. Sixth and Peabody, our location with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine, Hutton and Withrow with you. Big thanks to Logan Ryan for joining us. Chad, it's time to pump the energy into
spice it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Change it up a little bit.
Yeah. Pump some iron. The Gun Show.
We're in
is
the final
here.
Hour. It's time to mix it up.
That's right.
That's why we're
back
brought
in studio with us, Mike Gunzelman from Outkick.com. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Always a pleasure. Super Bowl week. Let's go.
We're almost there. We're about to be airborne.
Yeah, we can't wait. So you've got a piece that's about to post as we speak, I believe, at Outkick.
Yeah.
The best acts to not perform at the Super Bowl halftime show. You've got a top five for us. Give us the premise, and then we'll help you count it down.
So here's the thing. Obviously, some people tune into the Super Bowl for the game itself, all right? Some people tune in for the commercials and the food aspect at home and all of that stuff. And there's a lot of people that will also tune in specifically for the halftime show. And of course, there's been some greats, but there's also been some questionable performances throughout the years. We'll have Rihanna doing this year Super Bowl halftime show, kind of, you know what I mean? Am I really excited to see Rihanna? Sure, she's got some hits, but I think there's some other artists that could do better, or hopefully will do better. So I did a top five list, fellas.
Well, before we get into that top five, let me ask you this first opening question.
Yeah.
Would Rihanna have appeared in this top five had she not been slated to perform this year's halftime
Absolutely
show?
Not.
Okay, good.
Absolutely
good.
Not.
I already like this. Already like this list more than
I'm excited.
That's
to
what
watch.
I need to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited to watch
not.
Rihanna. Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Listen, she's fine. She got some hits throughout the years, but like I made a list, and here's the criteria for it. Right. So everyone's gonna have their own opinions and whatnot, but you need to take a step back. All right. Just because it might be your favorite band, this is the Super Bowl halftime show. This is the biggest stage of them all. So you have to go, in my mind, about songs that people will recognize, all right? And you also have to kind of cross generations.
Mass appeal.
Yes. That's what we're going for here on the Gun Show Top 5, all right?
And this Five Finger Death Punch is not going to perform that.
Right, unfortunately. Great show, great band.
So what you think about them, they're not going to be halftime, headlining halftime of the Super Bowl.
So I'm out on Creed. Creed is what you're saying. Yeah. Creed's not going to.
Guster will never perform.
Love Guster, right? Yeah, probably not a mass appeal on the Super Bowl.
I love Guster too. But they're not going to be there.
And am I right in thinking the premise is they have never performed before? Right?
All five of these artists, surprisingly, I might have some surprises for you, have never played the Super Bowl halftime show before.
All
so,
right.
ready
Gun
to
show,
kick it off?
Gun Show top five best acts to not perform
that we need
Super Bowl,
to play.
That need to play. Super Bowl.
Starting next season. All right, let's hear it, starting with number five.
Number five, I'm going with Oasis. All right? I know the brothers don't talk to each other, but here's the deal. Liam Noel, get with it, all right? Nobody cares about your side projects. Nobody's going to any of those shows being like, oh, yeah, I really like what you're doing now. No, it's all about Oasis. You cannot tell me that if Oasis gets back together, that they would not crush the Super Bowl halftime show.
Really,
you
want
to know
one.
How I know this? Champagne Supernova to Don't Look Back in Anger to probably, without a doubt, one of the all-time greatest sing-along songs in Wonderwall.
Yes.
When they end on Wonderwall, you will have the stadium losing their minds. You will have every bar in America screaming, crying, throwing beer from the bars to the living room couches. Wonderwall would be a massive, monumental hit. Oasis at number five.
Chad, your thoughts.
Hutton, who gets back together quicker, Liam and Noel or Aaron Rodgers and his family?
Wow.
What's the most likely to happen for a reunion? The Rodgers brothers?
Or the Gallaghers?
Or the Gallaghers.
The Gallaghers.
I love this. I think that's terrific. I love Oasis also, but mass appeal. People know the songs. The reunion element to it would be great. I'm all for this. And once I heard the name, honestly, Guns, I'm shocked it's number five. So I can't wait to hear 4-3-1.
Yes. Who was number six? Who just missed? Can you say
Rihanna.
That?
Rihanna. Actually not performed.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Dashboard Confessional was number six.
I love Dashboards. My God. Right. Emo music.
So Oasis number five.
Yeah.
Who beats them out at four?
All right. So the Oasis is at five because there is that realistic sense to it. You know what I mean? First, I got to get them to talk to each other. Listen, you can put Noah on one side of the end zone and then put Liam on the other side. They don't even have to look at each other or get along. Just play the show. But number four, I'm coming in with the Foo Fighters.
Yes.
I think the Foo Fighters, listen, right now the rock music genre is getting back more mainstream. Thank God that we actually have people that play guitars and play drums and all that. The Foo Fighters are the band that will be able to do this. Now, I understand, listen, unfortunately, Taylor Hawkins passed away, one of the greatest drummers right now, original member of the Foo Fighters. He passed away last year. But the band did announce, and they've already had them lined up, that they are touring again this year. They are back to playing shows. They're doing a lot of festivals. They're doing headliner shows and more. The Foo Fighters, think about these songs. Everything from like Times Like These to Best of You to Everlong to Monkey Wrench to so many songs. I feel like Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters would rock it. And also be able to bring out maybe some cameos, maybe like the guitarist from Queen or something. You know, bring out people for specific songs. The Foo Fighters would jam out. And to end on Everlong, one of the most amazing songs.
Do you end on Everlong or Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana? Because it's Dave Grohl.
Right? That Nirvana asshole.
Again, I'm in.
Kurt Cobain hologram, anyone? You can have that also? Too soon? No, I love that. It's the last great American rock band, I feel like, is Foo Fighters.
Yeah,
well said.
If you're talking about true American rock bands, it's Foo Fighters. I watched Foo Fighters, Hutton, New York City Super Bowl, the Friday night of the Super Bowl, or maybe the Saturday before. Anheuser-Busch had a party, and Foo Fighters headlined the party. It was on a ship in the whatever New York City.
Hudson River. Yeah.
Hudson Yards, and attended that.
You and
party.
Clay?
Yeah, me and Clay Travis.
Woo,
yep,
that's
and our
an amazing
wives
party.
Were there. It was awesome. They played for 2.5 hours at a Bud Light party before the Super Bowl. And having seen that and seen them in concert, they would be great.
Yeah.
Should we go to number three on the list?
Yes.
Now, number three, I understand, listen, it might not be for everybody, but like I said, it is that mass appeal aspect, and I'm going with Jay-Z. All right, I'm going with Jay-Z because the fact is he is literally one of the best rappers of all time. He's never done the Super Bowl, and he's not getting up there in age, but it's still, if they're going to go that direction where they went from The Weeknd a couple years ago to a Rihanna, I think Jay would be the next logical, perhaps, step. All right. Jay-Z has a lot of hits. All right. Take whatever you might think of him personally out. Jay-Z, I think, needs to do a Super Bowl halftime show. He's an internationally recognizable star.
Well, they apparently asked him in 2020 and he turned it down because they wanted him to have surprise guests that included Rihanna and someone else. Maybe it was Kanye. They wanted Run This Town to have many surprise guests.
I don't think they'll be asking for Kanye anymore.
And, well, so Rihanna turned them down.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Rihanna's also someone they've circled back with because she turned them down as well. So Jay-Z's on the list with the NFL. This is something that I think happens in the next 3 years or so. Could happen next year in Vegas.
Like
so,
I said, I'm trying to do the realistic things that might happen.
I love it.
Yeah.
And he did not appear with Beyonce during her Super Bowl.
Beyonce did a couple years. It was just Beyonce. Jay did not come out with it. Think
he's
of
never
all those
appeared
songs.
With anyone, right?
Nope, he's
I
never
feel like
done,
he had been a special guest with someone, but he's
never
appeared on stage.
And I honestly purposely believe that he did not do last year. Of course, you had Dr. Dre and Eminem and everybody last year and Kendrick
cool.
and Mary J. Blige. It was fun. You know, a lot of hits, of course, amongst them all. Jay wasn't out on that. Jay-Z has that star power that he can do it by himself. He comes out, I got 99 problems. Oh, my God. My headset falling off. Blew my mind.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. Jay-Z is definitely the top five for sure.
Yeah. Number two, my friends. It's me. Hi. On the problem, it's me. I'm talking about that Taylor Swift. The only reason Taylor Swift is number two is because I truly believe that it happens next year. I honestly believe that Taylor Swift is going to headline the Super Bowl next year because she is the biggest star in the world right now.
It's written in the stars that she has to do it.
It's possible now because it's no longer the Pepsi halftime show. She was with Coke, and that's what has prevented that partnership. And now it's the Apple?
Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Now it's the Apple Music halftime. So it's wide open for the NFL to have Taylor.
Has she would sued crush Apple it. Music? Who did she sue? She sued a lot of people, I think. She's very litigious.
It happens. That's the bottom line is, yeah. I think she's on enough good terms with Apple Music that she can definitely do the...
Yeah. I mean, they're like, yeah, well, sure. If Taylor Swift can do it.
And the,
sue us all you want.
And the biggest thing that Taylor Swift can do is... bridge that gap where you're bringing in that young audience into grandparents that are driving their grandchildren. They know all the hits. Everybody knows that We're Never Getting Back Together, into Bad Blood, into Shake It Off, into Romeo and Juliet. But how about this? Her first song she was 16 years old was Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Maybe Tim McGraw comes out and does like one of the choruses with her. Like that, it's America's darling. It is the pinnacle. It's Taylor Swift. One of the top three, I would argue this, top three most popular stars in the world right now. All right. Taylor Swift, Harry Styles, Bad Bunny, put them whichever way that you want. You know, maybe top four, throw Beyonce in there. Taylor Swift would absolutely crush the Super Bowl because it has that mass appeal and would bring in every, whether you love her or hate her, the songs can be annoying at times. I think they're catchy as hell. Taylor Swift checks all the boxes off for Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift would be, it's a no-brainer. She's the biggest star.
She took down Ticketmaster.
It should be number one.
I'm curious about number one now. Now, here's what would piss me off. If she sang Tim McGraw or Tim McGraw came out like you said, way too much of America would go, who?
Oh no.
There would be a lot of people saying, I don't know who that is.
Who's this guy with the country hat?
Came out. Yeah.
Cowboy hat.
That was someone from the state of Tennessee that would bother me to my core. So many people would be like, I don't know who this is. I'm here to see Taylor Swift. Oof. Get this old man off the stage. That's what a lot of America would say. And that would insult my very being.
But then they'd immediately. Tim McGraw would be made again because Taylor is on stage with him.
They Google him and they're like, oh, he's in the Friday Night Lights movie version. That's what they know him for. I like the TV show, but he was in the movie.
So your last two guns, no-brainers.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, Taylor Swift, and number one?
Like I said, Taylor Swift should be one, but I think it does happen sooner than later, so it's not really like a hoping for aspect for her because it's going to happen with Taylor Swift.
Should we try to guess? Chad, because we haven't seen his list.
Yeah, you have not seen my list. Who do you think I go with number one?
I think you may have mentioned them when you talked about the biggest stars. I'm going to guess Harry Styles.
So I was going to say Harry Styles or maybe Adele.
Or Marilyn Manson was going to be my other guess.
Maybe Adele.
Marilyn Manson.
I don't know which way I would turn other than that.
Marilyn Manson and Adele. Yeah.
Basically the same genre.
Limp Bizkit or Adele.
Yes, same genre. Sheryl Crow. Or Korn.
Hate breed. Yeah, it's
like, ladies and gentlemen, Fred Durst.
Yes. And here he comes, still rocking that red cap. Always.
All right, number one.
Number one. Harry Styles, honestly, probably should be up there, but I'm talking top five that personally mattered to me that I think would have that. Harry Styles is an international superstar, but I do not think, based on all the artists that I have announced so far, that the average person knows as many Harry Styles songs when you really think about it. He's massive, of course. But do you know, if I go name a Harry Styles song, really know one offhand right now?
Well, but this makes me sound old than I am. When Bruno Mars did the halftime show, he just starts, you know, it's 15 minutes of just his hits. You're like, oh, yeah, I know this.
Okay.
I think Harry Styles would probably have the same,
where at least we've heard it when he starts playing it.
Listen, I'm a big Harry Styles fan.
I feel like you're building this up where we're going to hate number one.
I know. I feel
like you're doing a lot of this is personal. This is very important to me personally.
21 Savage.
Here's the deal.
Where are we going here? Because 5-2 has been terrific.
I know. You know what? Hopefully it's not a letdown, but here it is. The bottom line is he's never played, surprisingly. I was shocked. Billy Joel.
Billy Joel
has never played the halftime show, and I'm telling you that Billy Joel would absolutely crush it. It would be it would be a safe move for the Super Bowl, okay? It would be a safe given move, and it would bring in, I mean, you talk about all the hits from Only the Good Die Young to Moving Out to Uptown Girl to Piano Man to all those songs. I feel like Billy Joel, he's getting up there in age, needs to play the Super Bowl halftime show before it's too late.
I'm just imagining. I like it. Billy Joel's a hit maker.
It's a safe bet.
What are you laughing about?
You need him to do it. Everybody else has done it. The Who and Elton John, Paul McCartney.
He's also written hits for other people he could play, so I'm fine. I'm just laughing at, you said the NFL don't have to worry about it. Billy Joel's just standing up there and he said, "Before I get started, I'd like to confirm that the NFL is rigged. Play me a song in the piano, man." And just launches into it.
And I'm like, let's go.
Like, yeah. What possible controversy could Billy Joel just shock everyone with when he gets up there?
What? So who else was considered? Did you consider Metallica?
So Metallica hasn't done it. I did consider Metallica, especially when I was getting into that Foo Fighters rock aspect. I don't think they.
Every white. I don't NFL think it would happen. Would go nuts.
I honestly
Metallica,
don't.
I'll say that. The every way, lineman, to me, every white offensive lineman would love Metallica.
It's the very same crowd as Oasis. As crazy as that sounds, it's the same.
I think it's a little older, even.
Yeah,
the Metallica crowd.
But it's
probably
the same era, I guess. Where if you that was a blend of all types of music and personalities, right? Like if you listen to Limp Bizkit,
Metallica could work.
You're also listening to Britney Spears.
It's one of those I think that, like Harry Styles for me, that even people who don't think they're Metallica fans will hear the hits one after the other and say, "Oh, I know this. I know this. I know this. I know this."
Do they? The thing is, and I agree with you, listen, it's Metallica from Enter Sandman to, you know, yes. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that desire. You know what I mean? Like, they have the songs, but I don't know if right now that would be the direction that can happen. And once again, they're getting up there a little bit in age. So Metallica was considered.
Okay.
Another one, I thought Queen with Adam Lambert. Thought that was kind of a, you know, Adam Lambert, of course, does a really good job with Queen. They've been doing all those, like, different, like, tributes and benefits for, like, Queen Elizabeth, you know, all that stuff. Like, they do a tremendous job. So I did think of Queen, all the songs right there, of course, all the hits right there. And then the other one, and I really, this would be probably, like, 5.5 on my top five, Garth.
I think Garth.
He would crush it.
Absolutely.
He would
close
to
the top of the list.
But will he?
And that's another one that everyone would know the songs, even if they, you know, bitched and moaned about him being the choice. They would know it once he started playing.
I think he needs to do it. I don't know. Do you think the NFL is going to reach out to Garth Brooks to do it, though?
I don't know. In Vegas, the cards are on the table. I mean, I'd like
Can you imagine them?
I like
Can you imagine them leveraging Garth Brooks with Jay-Z on the phone? Jay, I've got Garth on the other line right now, and this guy's going to have a banger of a set. So if you don't say yes right now, Garth's in. I'd love both of them going back and forth on it. This was a good list, guys. Yeah. You knocked it out of the park. I'll be reading the story, too.
I appreciate that. It's available right now on Outkick.com. But, of course, I got to ask you guys, what would your top act be? Who would you – realistic, not even next year, but say within the next
Taylor,
3 years.
It's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I understand your rationale for it, but – number one should be Taylor Swift.
I would go Foo Fighters number two.
I like Billy
list.
Joel in the top five. You know, if I like your top five, so I'll just reorder it. I would go Taylor Swift, Oasis, Billy Joel, Jay-Z, and then who's the fifth I'm leaving out?
Foo Fighters
five.
Foo Fighters.
Realistically.
See, Foo Fighters have put on a great show, though.
Although they'd be really good. All those acts would be good in that setting, I think.
Are you replacing any of them with Garth?
I mean, I would personally, but I understand why he's not in the top five.
I could replace Oasis with
that
Garth.
That would be my personal choice, Guns, if I went into it. You know, personally, it'd be important to me, but I understand why the other five are ahead of him.
Yeah. And what's your top? Who do you got?
I would Taylor Swift's number one because that's the no-brainer appeal, the mass appeal that the NFL wants, right? And that Apple would want.
Right.
I would love to know like how many people tune in just for Taylor Swift in the halftime.
All-time record.
You know?
It would break records.
Garth is a really good one. Foo Fighters number two for me. Jay-Z, easy. I mean, that's a no-brainer where it's, again, it's the same appeal with Taylor where you're just gonna, you just need him, right? That you don't have to have all this, all the mischief that goes on behind the scenes with negotiations with how you get people in there. So I like the top five. Metallica would be somewhere in there too, just because of the pyro that could be halftime. Oof.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Burn it down.
This was a blast. Guns, always welcome anytime, man.
Love you guys. Appreciate it. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Crush it for us, all right?
Yeah, sure. Man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
You can read more of Guns and, of course, check out more of this list and give your opinion at the column.
Tweet us. Outkick.com. Tweet Outkick360 and everybody. Let us know who you would add to it.
And The Gun Show.
The Gun Show with a Z. G-U-N-Z.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Tweet him.
More coming on Outkick360. Wrapping up what's been a fun show, Outkick 360 from 6th and Peabody with Yeehaw Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine. We are headed to Sky Harbor, Phoenix, is where we're flying into for the Super Bowl, Chad. And, well, some idiot decided to scale a skyscraper there today.
Speaking of Sky Harbor, yeah, someone went into the sky and scaled a building. And our buddy Jim Wyatt actually captured this video.
No harness or anything, right?
At J. Wyatt Sports. No harness. He is in what looks like the width of an elevator shaft, maybe, that's on the outside of a skyscraper, and decided to straight up this building. You want to talk about not looking down to freak you out? I don't know how any human could do this or want to do this. We can report that he safely made it to the top. But some crazy things we've seen at the Super Bowl, Hutton. This is not one of them that we've ever witnessed.
Well, even if you're really good at it, and clearly he is, he made it to the top, right? But like, even if you're great at this, like at some point, can't you just have like a slip? You can make a mistake. You can
a weird
and
gust
it's the
of
thrill
wind.
Of it. Some people just love the thrill of just. I mean, there were base jumpers here that were jumping off of buildings here in Nashville like 4 or 5 years ago. Remember that? And they're just parachuting off. It's like, what are
would,
they?
Would Tom Cruise do that?
Yes.
He would do it for a movie for sure.
He would do it.
I think he might just do it normally. Was that Tom Cruise? Are we not sure? Are we sure he's not?
They're actually filming a scene.
Preparing for Dead Reckoning Part 2 of the Mission Impossible series. Maybe that was a scene from that.
Top Gun Rooster.
There are things that thrill seekers do that I see and I'm like, okay, that would be cool if I could work up the guts to do it.
Yeah.
There are other things I watch and I think, no way ever would I want to do that or see any value or see any bit of enjoyment in doing it. That we just witnessed is one of those things.
Well, and it's also
zero
like
enjoyment from that.
Bringing attention to something, right? Like that there, I'm sure there's some climate story change. Or whatever. Are they arrested after doing something like this? I'm assuming they're detained. Oh, anti-abortion activist, according to TMZ, is what this guy was doing this on behalf of. Great, but like at the same time, like you know, if you're pro-life, you probably don't want to risk yours.
So
you know what I mean? One slip and you're done.
So he's okay. He's anti-abortion. I was trying. All right, I was confused on what side he was on. That's the problem when you do something like that. We don't know what side you're on. I don't know what the message is,
right?
One way or the other. So, interesting.
So this reminds me of like David Blaine with the balloon thing. And you're always trying to figure out like how this is rigged, where he ties himself and he floats up, and then they pop balloons and he just drops.
David Blaine freaks me out.
It's insane, man.
Are we sure he's not the Antichrist?
He may be.
He does some things, and I'm looking at him like, there's something off. There's a lack of soul.
It's a death wish.
Though, in your eyes that I just don't like.
He's one of those. He's like this
similar
guy.
To when I saw Marilyn Manson in concert.
Yeah, it's speaking a death of him, wish. There's a Chad lack, had a death wish.
There's a lack of soul there that was a little bit disconcerting.
All you're saying is all you missed was David Blaine, and the world would have ended.
Pretty much. If David Blaine opened for Marilyn Manson at that concert I was at,
instead of
at a Ascend Amphitheater in Nashville, the world would have ended right there. The rapture would have taken place.
Join us for what's going to be a great week from Radio Row at Super Bowl 57. We kick things off 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, tomorrow through Friday. Great coverage headed your way, both with Outkick 360, Don't At Me with Dan Dockich, and across the entire site. Hope you'll check us out at Outkick.com. Follow us on Twitter at Outkick360. Check us out tomorrow right here across the Outkick Network.
See you in the desert.